Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, you guys are up here in this strange place of worship. Most of you know that I'm Father Alex, but not all of you know where you are.
The gifts
God wants a new ministry. He's going to raise up the church. He's going to raise up the minister. He's going to raise up the leadership. And we see that happening. 6 months ago, we could have done this. And yet, as we stepped out, God has brought gifts and talents and passions to life. And it's all around us. There's already a growing sense that we're learning, just beginning to learn what it really means to be servants of Christ. And so, a wonderful way to step out by faith and begin to understand a little bit more about what this is that we're called. Now, let me just go ahead and face it right on, because servants of Christ in the church, not your average, everyday, typical name for a name in the parish. I was putting together a mail out, and Adrian left, and all my volunteers were matched out, and so I called in my emergency reserve, Jay Charlie Samantha. Otherwise known as Farmer Kid. We're sitting around a table, and I'm folding these letters, and I'm quite particular about folding letters, and then one is stuffing the envelope, one is taking the sealer, putting the sealer on, and the other one is standing the nonprofit organization sticker on. So we're just a little round table. And there's about, I guess about 300 of these individuals. So about 255 into it. Charlie says to all of us, man, my arms are getting tired. And Samantha said, yeah, we're the servants of Christ.
And it's pretty clear, it's one word.
that, Jesus was taking the form, taking the role, the posture of one without privilege, one without advantage, one totally under the authority of the Master. And there's a sense in which we have to own that role, that calling to be slaves for Christ. That's why we find ourselves here in temporary quarters, marching down the street. It's only obedience, nothing more. If there is any other motivation for why we meet here tonight and not someone's building, then I pray we repent of it. Because the only reason to be here is obedience. Because we are slaves of Christ Jesus. He is our master, and He alone. We serve the Master Jesus. And that's what brings us here. But as Paul wrote those words of being a slave of Christ, a doulos of Christ, there was also a second connotation that Paul meant. Because see, Paul was not only a Greek speaker, he was a Hebrew. He was a trained Pharisee in the Old Testament. And he understood that there was a richness to that word, because even from the time of Moses and David and Nehemiah and many Joshua, many of the famous characters of the Old Testament, there was this identification with this word slave. Slave of God. Servant of God. But it didn't just simply mean the lowly, humility position. It also meant that you were one set apart to serve God and Him alone. And so in that sense, a servant became not only simply a slave, but an honored servant. One brought into the service of his God. One sent to bring messages or deliver messages or to do the will of the one who sent him. Almost like an emissary. And so, David, Moses, Nehemiah, and Joshua all proudly declared themselves servants of the Most High God. And so shall we. The word, notice that NIV doesn't say slave. If it simply meant slave, it would leave it slave in the English, but it uses servant because it wants to capture both these connotations. That we're under our Lord Jesus as Master, but that we are also those called to be in special service for Him. We, service of Christ, Anglican Church, we are called to serve on behalf of Christ, the people of Gainesville, and Alachua, and all sorts of areas that you guys live and come to, we will be ministering in North Central Florida. We have been called to serve on Christ's behalf, those in our community. But Isaiah, the Old Testament scripture, really brings out a second point I need to make. You see, Isaiah, actually in chapter 49, he's talking about two different servants if you look at that Old Testament verse. The first four verses deal with Israel, the servant. You see, God had called his people to be his servants collectively. That Israel would be God's people, that they would serve him. That they would be a blessing to all the nations as they have been blessed. But Isaiah says that the servant Israel was born and death. I don't know if you ever had a servant, but I don't think a blind and deaf servant would be of much use. It'd be hard to tell them what to do, directing them where they need to go. And so the second part of Isaiah 49 there in our scripture today says that God called another servant. And that this servant was called from the womb. And the New Testament tells us that Isaiah is actually prophesying of the Lord Jesus. That Jesus Christ becomes the true servant, the faithful servant, the only one who is faithful to the Father. that he also becomes the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. The one by whom the stripes were made us healed. The one who suffers for us, who dies in our flesh that we might be forgiven, cleansed, redeemed. Don't you see? Christ has redeemed us to be for us to be once again the servants of God. Through him, through his work on the cross. Tonight, I want to say that the only servant of Christ that we can exalt is Jesus the servant. He is the one who is exalted in our midst. He is the one true servant. And the only way we can even begin to utter the name that we too are servants of Christ is by constantly reminding ourselves and constantly reminding those who we tell of this name. There's only one true and faithful servant. His name is Jesus. The end of Isaiah 49, verse 6 and 7, tells us also that God says they will allow all this new servant to be faithful where Israel, the servant of God, had been unfaithful. It says that it was too small a thing that he was simply the God of the Redeemer of the Jews alone. But that he would be a light to the nations. The mission of Jesus, the servant of God, is to bring his gospel message to the ends of the earth, to all peoples, tribes, and nations. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, the true servant, then that must be our mission too. We must constantly be thinking, how do we present Christ to those in this community that don't know him? And I believe it has to do with serving. You see, I think that the world outside thinks that we really don't have the best in mind. They're not convinced that we really care about them. Maybe we want to tell them what to do, or be critical of their lifestyle, or make them conform to our ideas or patterns. But they don't understand that we really love and care for them. Maybe we don't. But Jesus serves. And how will we be a light to the nations? How will we carry this light to the nations? By serving them in his name. And that's what we have to learn to do. Servant. Leader. That's what Jesus said about us. Jesus didn't become a slave to those he knelt down and watched the Jews out that night. But he took the posture of a slave. He served them. Tonight, one last, or three last thoughts. What's happening at 4315 Northwest Luther Avenue? What's happening at 325 Market Street? But that has nothing to do with us. Amen?
Amen.
Avoid the temptation. We may have come out of it, but we are not changing. We are moving forward. And I'm going to really push you to keep looking forward and not looking back. And then thirdly, concentrate on exalting Jesus. When someone asks you what's going on, share Christ Jesus with them, and then invite them to church. So now, my friends have come to be with us. It's time to take up our
faces and our talents. Begin our apprenticeship. As we grow on to the Lord,